the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Bert, this week is always special to me, Holy Week.
Yes.
When we look toward what Jesus did on the cross, and I think about Monday. You know, scholars believe it was on Tuesday that Judas began to conspire with the leaders to betray Jesus. And Monday was kind of a quiet day a little bit during Holy Week, but things would forever change.
That changed everything. Yes. And we pray that it has changed your life, that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, because he overcame our greatest enemies, sin and death.
Yes.
And he paid the price and then overcame the curse. And we praise God for that. It is a great week, and we hope you have a good week. And I pray you're planning on being in church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know they call them the people that go once a year or twice a year. Listen, make sure you go. And those of you that are regular, make those that come sporadically, make mention of them. Say, man, it's good to see you here. Don't make much too much of it, but make some of it. Make them glad they're there. So, Alex, real quickly, before we get started, something's going to happen in June, June the 12th, 13th, and 14th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this year in Tupelo, Mississippi at the Cadence Bank Conference Center.
Yes.
And it's called the Activate Summit. It's a biblical bedrock building on the authority of Scripture. I hear you're going to be in town for that.
Well, I'm very honored to be one of the keynote speakers at the conference there, the Activate Summit. And I'll be, Tim Wildman has asked me to speak on the Bible, God's Word. How do we know that the Bible is God's Word? It's infallible, inerrant, and that is a topic that I'm passionate about. But there's going to be a lot of other people, too. I think about Frank Turek.
Amen.
Just one of the greatest public speakers you'll ever hear. Frank Turek will be there, Ed Vitagliano, so many people. But, folks, I want to see you there because biblical worldview and being able to share your faith confidently in any situation, and it's for all ages. Okay, this is June 12th through 14th in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi, and you can get special pricing up until Friday, April 18th.
That's this Friday.
4 days from
That's
now.
That's right.
But the theme, and my goodness, what a tremendous theme, biblical bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture. And Bert, you and I have talked about this. I know it because I do a lot of traveling. If there is anything that we need in this moment of American church history, it's that the church would live, acknowledge, proclaim, consistently follow the authority of
Amen.
God's Word.
It is. And so you'll be speaking on that, the word of God, and others will have other subjects, so they'll cover this. So you'll go and leave with a knowledge that will help you grow in your— The youth have their own special track,
yes.
And by the way, ages 5 and under, they're free, mm-hmm. and you can go online. It is activate.afa.net/summit, activate.afa.net/summit, and you can find all the prices there. You can find what you need, motel. You can make those tell you how to do that and where to go, all the motels that are available here in Tupelo. And so we're wanting that to happen. But the biggest thing is the authority of Scripture. That's what
Amen.
It says on everything it speaks on. You
yes.
know, it's a matter of faith and practice and life. I know that. But when it speaks on history and when it speaks on science,
it's
right on too.
Right on. And let me just say this. I know that vacation time and summer will be here before you know it. I want to say here, I've been coming to Tupelo for 16 years. It's a fantastic city. There's a lot to do here, a lot of places to stay, a lot of really good restaurants to eat. There's the American Family Association, the beautiful Natchez Trace to drive on, and there's museums and a lot of history. So your family will have a blast in Tupelo. I mean, you really will. Angie and I love to come to Tupelo. But the greatest thing this June 12th through 14th is the Activate Biblical Worldview Summit, building on the authority of Scripture. You're gonna come away with a deeper understanding of God's Word, how to read, study, and live the Bible, even how to defend your faith in a hostile culture. And I just can't wait. Bert, I'm going to be presenting some new research. You and I have a book coming out in the fall, and I've done a lot of work that I've not really presented publicly anywhere, and I'll be rolling that out at this conference. And again, the AFA personalities that you listen to, and a friend of mine since 1990, Frank Turek,
amen,
one of the greatest defenders of Christianity, incredible speaker. So we just hope to see everybody there. Now listen to this website, activate.afa.net/summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, activate.afa.net/summit, and we'll have a great time in the Word of God come June.
Amen. Well, I hope you'll do that. Make that a part of your summer schedule. And by the way, if you stay through Sunday morning, Tupelo, Mississippi has some awesome, awesome churches to attend.
Yes.
And I'm saying that I was one of those pastors at one of the churches years ago, but it's still good, the other churches, so you won't make a mistake by going to some godly churches. Well, let's jump in to chapter 31. We're introduced, and I'm going to let you try to enunciate this guy's name. Uh-huh. We find him in chapter 31, Bezalel.
Yeah.
How would you say that?
B-E-Z-A-L-E-E-L. Bezalel or Bezalel.
It's a lot easier to spell than it is to enunciate.
That's right. Let me read what the Word of God says about this gentleman. In verse 3, it says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold, silver, brass, cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber, and to work in all manner of workmanship." You know, that's Exodus 31, 3 through 5. Those are skill sets I'd like to have.
You better believe it. I listed them on a piece of paper here.
Okay.
Listen to this. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, I just want to tell you, you have that, and you've got a lot,
yes.
Okay? But then workmanship, and it's not just in one item. It's gold, silver, bronze, jewels, and wood, five different areas. And notice what it says. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, he had these talents. He had these abilities. And then God filled him with this, the Spirit of the Lord. And Alex, what he would produce, we'll find out, because God's already given all the things he wants done, how he wants the breastplate, how he wants the, everything made. And this man, God has equipped him to do it. So I'm asking you, I want to see if this, you agree. If God asks you to do something, he's given you what you need. Now, you may need to develop it. We understand that. We talk about, God's called me to preach. That's a call to prepare.
Amen.
This man had prepared himself, and now God is calling on him to serve him. Now, is that a combination? Okay, he's got abilities. He's developed those abilities. God's called him, and he's filled him with the Spirit of God. What a combination.
Amen. Well, you might be called, folks, to help out in a certain way or teach Sunday school. It's funny, I was on the phone yesterday encouraging a brother in a way he could serve in our church back in North Carolina. And he said, I don't feel very adequate. And I said, well, welcome to the club.
Who is? Who is?
There's that old saying, such and such is outside of my comfort zone. Well, I know you might concur. I feel like the comfort zone is 30 years back, and I can't even find the comfort zone anymore. But I will say this, and to everybody listening, you're never going to be completely fulfilled until you're out there walking by faith, experiencing the power of God every day, and being used by God. And Bert, I believe that every born-again believer has some role, some contribution to the Great Commission.
I do too. If you're in the body of Christ, in a local body of believers, I want to tell you, there's a service you ought to be involved in. Amen. There's a ministry you ought to be doing. It can be security. It can be the nursery. It can be working with a homebound. It can be in the choir. It can be teaching. It can be part of the prayer team. I want to just tell you, nobody that's a member of a church ought to be sliding. Yeah. They need to be involved. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
And that means if God's called a church to have a ministry, God's going to provide the people within that church to take care of that ministry if they obey God.
Amen. And, you know, you might have a voice and you can sing, and maybe you don't have a voice and you can sing anyway.
Or try to sing anyway.
Exactly. Let me say, I'm in a lot of churches every weekend of the year. I'm somewhere. And we need more men to sing in the choir.
Amen.
I'm just going
to... They're outnumbered 3-1 most of the time.
Yeah. But you know what? When we're reading here about Bezalel, and God's given him wisdom, the Spirit of the Lord, understanding, and verse 3, all manner of workmanship. And he's got skill to work in gold, silver, brass, stone, timber, all manner of workmanship. Now, Bert, I'm kind of a tool junkie myself. I've got a lot of tools, and most men I know have a workshop. I got to tell you, and let me just say, it's a beautiful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. Probably about 6-7 years ago in Guilford County, where we live, we had a severe ice storm. And I mean, there were trees down everywhere, power lines down, the roads down. And so the power company and even some of the government, the DOT, they just couldn't. It was way too much. And they were predicting that people might be without power 10 days or 2 weeks, and it was cold. Well, South Elm Street Baptist, where we go, and Pastor Lawrence Clapp, we talked to the authorities, and we got the green light for the Baptist men to come out.
Amen.
Now, virtually all the guys I know are real proud of their chainsaw.
Chainsaw. And I knew what was coming.
You know what? Suddenly, there were hundreds of men proudly wielding their chainsaws, and literally what was going to be 10 days of cleanup got done in about a day, and the roads got opened. And I think it's a beautiful thing. God is still, it might be preaching, teaching, administration, relief work, 8 days of hope. God is still working through his people to get great
Amen.
Things done.
Now, listen, he's not by himself either. Listen to this in verse 6. And I,
yes.
indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of whoever that might be, of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all who are gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Now,
yes.
listen. God usually does his work with a group of people, but it usually starts out with one person being the leader and them coming. Notice this is all gifted artisans. I've called them as well. So if you're not one of these guys, like the first guy that has wisdom, understanding, knowledge, workmanship in gold, silver, bronze, jewels, and wood, but you are got one, use it for the glory of God, Alex.
Amen. Well, we're going to get to verse 7 here after this brief break, a very powerful verse about salvation on this Holy Week, exploring the Word. Stay tuned. We've got a brief break. Bert and I will come back with more on today's show.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Yes, he did. And I want to tell you something else that he wants to do. He wants to save souls. If you're not born again, God wants you to know him personally. That's amazing to know the Creator God, the Redeemer, and have a personal relationship with him. You can do that by asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your life, and let him change you. Listen, we want that to happen in your life. Alex? Mm-hmm. Now, you're in the studio here in Tupelo. That doesn't happen very often, but it does every once in a while. What brings you this direction?
Well, I have the privilege. I'm just 72 miles away in Alabama. There's a wonderful area called Barry, Alabama. It's not too far from Jasper, Alabama. And Pastor Randall Trim and a number of the great pastors in that region, many, many, many months ago, they got together and they said, we need to have an evangelistic crusade, a community-wide revival. And so we're at the high school, Barry High School, by the way, tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 p.m. We've got great, great music from the Vaughn family. They sang beautifully last night. We had people come to Christ last night, and I'll be preaching just as I did yesterday. I'll be preaching tonight, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Amen,
so
brother.
I got up this morning, and Angie and I, we had prayer over the phone. And Angie said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to drive to Tupelo because I'm only, I don't know, an hour and a half, I guess. So, but anyway, if anybody's listening, Barry, Alabama, at the high school, that's where we'll be with people came out from all over that region. And we're meeting and worshiping and opening the word.
Amen, brother. I'm so excited and glad you could make it over. And I just want to give the Lord glory. You had struggles the last 2 weeks with your voice.
I did.
And
oh,
God kind of had set that aside, except for Share-a-thon, but you were able to do Share-a-thon, but not travel. And so God just, I know, you know, illness is always inconvenience, but yeah. If it could happen at any time, it happened at a good time.
The Lord is so good. We had a big event in the Oklahoma City area. And then week before last, like 2 weeks ago today, I couldn't even speak. I had laryngitis. Then last week was Share-a-thon. And see, I had this bad sinus infection. And I just want to testify, if I was going to get under the weather, it was the perfect window to do that. And, you know, AFA is so full of grace. And I told you and Brent Austin and Tim Wildman, I said, guys, I'm a little under the weather. And y'all have been so patient with me. So thank you.
Amen, brother. Well, it's a joy to have you in person here. And let's get back to chapter 31, because you was talking about verse 31,
yes.
Chapter 31, verse 7. Read that and tell us what you was wanting to get to that. You said that was a very important verse.
Well, it is. God has raised up these people, given them skill, the workmen. All right. The tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and all the furniture of the tabernacle and the table and his furniture and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, the altar of incense. Now here's the thing. There are a lot of implements and everything is significant. Everything is pointing to salvation. But I think about this. The tabernacle of the congregation, the people would come to worship and make their sacrifice. The Ark of the Covenant is in there. And the lid, if you will, folks, this golden lid that sits on top of this rectangular box that they would put the blood sacrifice on, the mercy seat.
Amen.
Which is where, like, and how perfect at Easter to be talking about this, the blood of the lambs and the sacrificial animals, a temporary covering for sin.
Atonement.
The blood of Jesus, the final eradication of sin. And the word, folks, you might have heard kind of this big theological word, propitiation, to propitiate. You know, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says Jesus is our Passover.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
That he would be the lamb that would die and the turning away of wrath. God loves you so much. You say, well, how much does God love me? Does he give me things I need, money, food on the table? Well, yes. But the greatest provision God ever made for you was that the wrath for sin was deflected and put on Jesus.
Amen. And that's why he went to the cross willingly, gave himself. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down. But if I have power to lay it down, Jesus said, I have power to take it up again. And on the third day, on that resurrection morning, the grave was empty. Jesus has done that. Would you trust him? I pray that you have. Now, the rest of it tells about the lampstand, the utensils, the altar of incense, the burnt offering, the base for the laver, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments of the priest, the garments of his sons. And then in verse 11, the anointing oil, the sweet incense for the holy place. Now, listen to the last phrase in verse 11, Alex. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. Listen, I've given you the ability. I've given you the material. I've given you the design. Let me put a word. Now just do it. Exactly what I've done. And so this is what they did. That's verses 1 through 11. And then it kind of changes course at the beginning of verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, sets you apart, makes you holy. And listen, the Sabbath day was set aside so that we would know that we have been set aside for the Lord. Isn't that pretty good?
Amen.
I mean, that's the whole idea. When we come to that day, so you'll know, and it says, you shall keep the Sabbath. This is verse 14. Therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. That's how severe it was to disobey the Sabbath, because you were not recognizing God as God. And whoever does any work on it, the person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now, Alex, it shows you the instruction of the Sabbath. It shows you the importance. But notice what he does before the Sabbath. He gives the instruction of the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, the way to get to him. And then it follows with the Sabbath day to set that apart. The Sabbath, was it made for God or made for man?
The Sabbath was made for man.
Okay, yep. So they could what? Know God?
Yeah.
Recognize him as God? Worship him as God?
And this is really important. I'm glad we're bringing this up, because in verse 13, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between you and me. And it goes on, and it says that the Sabbath, and it quotes from the Ten Commandments, 6 days work may be done, but the Sabbath, the seventh is a Sabbath, the day of rest. And it goes on, verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel. Now, let me just say, the word sign is the Hebrew word an evidence. See, when you know the Lord, there should be some evidences
that
in your life.
That you're putting forth?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, the word for atonement is the Hebrew word kippur. You've heard of Yom Kippur. Yom is day. By the way, God created in six days, and rested on the seventh. Yom Kippur. I would say this. The keeping of the Sabbath is not the atonement for sin. Now, it is an evidence, just like circumcision of the male babies. That was a sign that they were the covenant people of God. The keeping of the Sabbaths was a sign. And I'm going to say this. Keeping a Sabbath is not how we get saved. Now, it's a sign that in faith we're looking toward the Messiah. And going to church is not how you get saved, although you should go to church on Sunday.
It's a celebration of him overcoming sin and death at the resurrection.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. And so, Bert, I think it's important to remember, as a born-again Christian, there should be some evidences in our life, some the word here in the King James is sign, S-I-G-N, but it really means evidences that we are the people of God. And I'm not talking about legalism or works righteousness, but if you're a follower of Jesus, it should be evident.
And Jesus said you're a new creation in Christ. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
And the book of James makes it plain that we are his work. He works in us. We're not working to be saved, but if we're saved, those works will follow. They'll be evident in our life. And this is one of those. It is a sign, verse 17, between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He reflected on what he had done, and when he got through, he said, it's good. That's what he did. He said, this is good.
It is good.
And so that's the world we live in. God's made it that way. Now, man's sin has distorted that. But one of these days, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be better than. That's going to be awesome. Now, we come to chapter 32, and this is one of those chapters that it all went wrong. Moses is up on the mountain. He's meeting with God. He's left Aaron and Hur in charge, but it doesn't work very good at all. And so he's been up there 40 days and 40 nights, and they're concerned. And they said, I love what they said. What about this Moses? After all that Moses had done for them.
Very accusatory.
Very accusatory. Here's what it is, Alex. What have you done for me lately? He hadn't done anything for us for 40 days, so we're ready to give up on him.
We got a spiritual amnesia, don't we?
We do. It's horrible.
This week, Angie and I, as we always do, will watch one of my favorite movies, The Ten Commandments, made by Cecil B. DeMille.
Charlton Heston.
Fantastic movie. But Edward G. Robinson plays Dathan, the Egyptian that goes with him, and he's the one in that movie. And by the way, it's great. If you've ever seen the 30-minute trailer that was made to go with that film, it was originally shown in the theaters. Cecil B. DeMille was very, very biblical, trying to convey the story. But he says, hey, where's Moses? He's been gone 40 days. Let's make a god, a golden calf. And maybe we can revert back to paganism. And like you said, it all goes wrong. And the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, said unto him, up, make for us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him.
Yeah, and this Moses, derogatory in every way.
Hey, exactly.
Can you hear it? And yes, the guy, Edward G. Robinson, did a good of portraying that. Aaron said to them, break off your golden earrings, which are in your ears, your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. Now, this is Aaron, who has been a spokesman with Moses about what God would do in Egypt. He's been side by side with him. And now with Moses being away 40 days, it shows you why God chose Moses to be a leader and not his older brother, Aaron. Just because you're older doesn't necessarily make you the leader that the younger one could be. And Aaron, he says it, break off those, bring them to me. So all the people did that, and they brought them to Aaron. He received the gold from their hand, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf.
Now,
this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.
This is tragic. This is tragic. Now, verse 5 of Exodus 32 is an incredibly strange verse. And in missions, there's a word called syncretism.
Right.
Okay. When Aaron saw it, this golden calf, this is an idol. The first commandment is a prohibition against idolatry. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, before this calf. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
Now listen, that is spelled in my New King James Version, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D.
Exactly.
Yahweh.
Okay. First of all, besides the horribly inappropriate, blasphemous thing of setting a golden calf beside the true and living God, Aaron made a proclamation. Verse 5, I got to say, who put him in charge?
Yeah. Well, he was left in charge. You remember when Moses was gone away?
Right.
He left Aaron and Hur in charge to do what?
To just
to keep on doing what Moses had done, not depart from what Moses.
But this is a change of course.
Sure is. He made a 180-degree turn.
And the thing is, here's the thing. Syncretism, or trying to mix orthodox truth with human sin, they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings to this idol. The people sat down to eat and drink, and the King James says rose up to play. Now, God knows all this because the Lord says to Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.
Alex, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're King James, thou people, but New King James says, your people. Now, here it is.
Yeah.
God says, they're your people, Moses. Now, real quick, I got to get this in before we go to the break. Look at verse 11 real quick. And Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? Moses said, God said, they're yours.
And Moses,
says, no, they're yours.
Yes.
Now, I have a sermon. Have you ever been unwanted? Listen,
this is
where they were, but yet God wanted them to turn, and Moses wanted them to turn. Down deep, they wanted them to turn. They loved them. Did God love them? Moses loved them too.
That's true.
That's the only way they'd be saved out of this.
They were disobedient, and as verse 7 says, they were corrupted. Well, stay tuned, folks. We're going to take calls, the number 888-589-8840. Your phone calls after this break.
This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. And you showed up and patched me up like you do every time. I get amnesia. I forget that.
Welcome back to Explore the Word, Alex and Bert. Coming to you from the studios of the American Family Radio Network, Brent Austin on the board. Hey, if you want to call in with a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. As we get to the phone calls, last week I mentioned a little booklet that we've given out all over the country. Oh, Brent, I don't know how many thousands we've given away, but I wrote a little booklet called What Does God Say About My Relationship with Him? And it's really how to know that you're saved, how to rededicate. And it is a free PDF on my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com. But then over there in Barry, Alabama, we're giving away by the dozens. So if you wondered about that, it's just kind of a new believer's book that we've given out. And it's on my website, alexmcfarland.com, a little tab, What Does God Say? Well, Bert, we have phone calls.
We do, but before we go to them, I know tomorrow's usually a prayer day, you know, that
yeah,
we set aside.
Yes.
But I have a special prayer request. A lot of you have heard about it. Josh Sullivan, who is a missionary in South Africa, what happened last Thursday, four men broke into their church where they were having a prayer meeting and took him and kidnapped him. Now, the whole idea, they've traveled and found the car, but they don't know where he is. The last word he has, his wife Megan and his six children, they're there waiting. He is from West Tennessee, and we're praying Josh. So write Josh Sullivan down, and we're praying for his release from the kidnappers there in South Africa.
A lot of
folks think they're probably ransomed, but it could not be, and that's what it is, hard and difficult. So Josh Sullivan and those folks over in Tennessee, they're listening to him. He's a fellow Tennessean, called of God to be a missionary and serving the Lord. So we're praying for him.
Sure.
With that, we go to Texas and Crispin. Is it Crispin? Am I saying that correctly?
Crispin. It's Crispin. It's Chris Spin, like spin around.
S-P-I-N, okay. Well, welcome. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
I love y'all's show, and I've been a listener for many, many years. I listen to a lot of y'all's shows. Love you guys so much. Thank you for bringing the word to the world. But I was calling today because this unusual thing happened. I grew up Church of Christ. I was baptized in Church of Christ at 11. And then when I was in college, I went to Abilene Christian, and I listened to a Baptist preacher, and that was Matt Chandler. I would go to the Baptist church on Wednesdays, and I heard Matt Chandler, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I think I'm Baptist. I don't think I'm Church of Christ. So anyway, when I got married, I still got married in my childhood church. And then after college, I got married. And then anyway, I know y'all've got other callers. But to make a long story short, I started going to Baptist church as an adult. I've been going to Baptist church for over 20 years. Well, my husband and I, we were going to a big Baptist church, well-known in Houston area. But then we switched because we just want to do it at a smaller church. We want to raise our daughter in a small church. And we switch, and then when we looked into membership, because we're not pew packers, we'd like to get involved. We want to be members, and they want me to be rebaptized. And I thought, and it just crushed me because I never thought the water would save me. I didn't grow up in a church where the water would save us. I was saved at a youth devotional on a Monday. I wasn't baptized until Wednesday when my late daddy baptized me on a Wednesday night. It was very special to me. I know that if I would have died on Monday, I would be in heaven with Jesus. So it just bothers me that they did not hear my testimony, that they just said, no, if you come from a different denomination, you have to be rebaptized. And I understand if I was sprinkled, I was submerged. I know what the word says, and I know the criminal on the cross. You know, Jesus told him, you will be with me in paradise. You know, I know that baptism is about obedience, but he didn't give me a chance to respond and tell him, this is my testimony. I know what the word says. I don't feel led to be rebaptized. Anyway, it's a special church, and we still love the people there. But is that right for a church to ask that?
Okay. A lot of this has to do with Church of Christ doctrine, which says the baptism is essential. Not with you, Crispin, but with the church saying, yes, in order to be saved, you've got to follow the Lord in that baptism. If you were to die before that happened, now you have it straight. You're right on with your theology. But the church, you did. And that's why that confusion is. And matter of fact, I was just talking to someone today, just today, that I baptized who came from a Church of Christ church. And he understood what you're saying. He said, I did not do it, but that's what the church believed. And if it takes me doing this, it doesn't lessen my first of a baptism that was real. It's like we're going to Israel in March. Yes. Guess what a lot of folks will do when we're over there at the Jordan River?
Be baptized.
They'll be baptized, yes, in the Jordan River. Does it diminish their baptism that took place after their salvation experience?
I don't think so.
I don't think it would diminish yours, Crispin. I'd rather do that and be involved in the church because you've got it settled. And so, Alex, what would you say?
I would agree, and God bless you. And I know you understand that you had what we call believer's baptism, and your trust in Christ, not that outward work. You know, every church is different, but it sounds like if you've got a good church, your family feels, you know, plugged in there, and they're asking you to take this, you know, step to be a full member, pray about being open to that.
Yeah. And it's not lessening the one you experienced after your salvation. It's not diminishing that. You might feel like that, but look at it as something that say, okay, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know when I was saved. I know when I was baptized. It was real. And yet here I am. I think they could revisit that, Alex. I'll just say this. I think a lot of churches should revisit that. I'm putting myself on the line and say, okay, what was your intent?
Yeah.
What was you? And so you're not wrong, Crispin, but that church is saying, hey, we need to be in full fellowship.
Yeah.
Crispin, any other follow-up with that one? I don't want to leave you hanging.
I just feel like they're contradicting themselves because they say baptism isn't important, but then they're over here, they're saying you need to be baptized, but it's not important. And it's like, to me, it's works. To me, that would be a work for men because it's not on my heart to be rebaptized. I went through a huge turn around. And I know that a long time ago, I went through a lot of trauma. But anyway, I know people go through things in their life and they feel like they need to be baptizing. I don't have that on my heart. Maybe one day I will, but I don't have that. And I just feel like they should allow the members or non-members.
Well, let me suggest this, Crispin, real quick. Make sure if you don't feel led, I would say, okay, God, this must not be the church you want me in. And you might look, but if God wants you in that church, what you do, and again, it's not diminished. You say, okay, Lord, I know where I am. I know I've settled, and I don't agree with him on this, but I know this is where you want me. So therefore, I will follow their demands for that. And still, I don't know what else to tell you except those two things.
And maybe try to meet with the pastor
again. Yeah. They've already met one time. Meet again and see.
Pray about it and have a heart to heart talk and see if you can come to some common ground on that.
So pray for her that she would be able to do that. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Tennessee, and it's Chris. Chris, thank you for calling.
I just want to make a comment. Y'all guys was talking about what Moses said. Y'all remember in Numbers 11 where he said to the Lord, he said, I didn't give birth to these people. He said, why you me carry them around my arms? like a baby on my breast, you know. But anyway, my church keeps the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And if y'all keep that, I just want to say, happy Feast of Unleavened Bread to everybody. Y'all have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay. I know a lot of folks that are, you know, Passover meal. Yep. And they do it showing how Christ is in the past. Have you been to one?
Oh, yes.
I have as
the
well.
Passover
and
Seder.
It does really speak to your heart in such a way if you can find that. It's not demanded that we do something. It's one of the things you can do. But it is a great, great way to understand how God's redemption works,
Amen.
Alex.
I'm actually going to be leading one of those Thursday night. At a service back in North Carolina.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The number is 888-589-8840. We'll do our best to get to your Bible questions. Where do we go to now, Bert?
Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Blake. Blake, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing?
Doing good today. Good.
Man, I'm so glad to have got in with y'all, man. I've tried for years to get in and get a call with y'all. Man, I appreciate everything y'all do. Y'all are so wise on biblical knowledge, and it is just, it's led my life down a whole different path to get to listen to y'all guys
God,
every day.
Well, we praise God for that, Blake. We do. It's Him. It is Him.
To God be the glory.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. So I don't want to, you know, get y'all to break out your tinfoil hats and stuff like that, and I'll try to shorten it up. This is just a concern that I've wondered, you know, through time, and I'm a full believer in the faith of Christ and the Bible and everything. So in saying that, I believe that the Bible is true, 100% front to back. So my question is, okay, so in the Bible it says that God has set the earth on its foundation and it cannot be moved, right?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Go ahead.
So my thing is the deception of NASA. And the thing is like my family's all believers, but if I try to tell them that, look, we're not spinning millions of miles an hour through space and time, you know, and just dodging all these obstacles and, you know, the way that they say it is, I said, God said that the earth has been set on its foundations and it cannot be moved. NASA completely contradicts that.
Okay, Blake, let time-wise, we got what you're saying. What the foundations, Alex, the foundations of the earth is not like a building which is
right.
Fixed, but it's set up on a base of solid knowledge of principles and God's will.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, the firmament and the ground and the rocks, but in terms of the foundations, you know, it says that, like in Colossians 1:17, everything is upheld by the word of his power. There's the word of God, the laws of God. That's why the physical world doesn't just unravel. The atoms that make up matter hang together by God's decree. You know, Blake, I don't know where you're actually going with this, but let me say this. One thing that the Bible also does teach is the spherical nature. You know, we talk about the globe or the planet, and, you know, we look and we see that the sun and the moon are planetary, the solar system. I'm not saying you were going towards a flat earth, but when the Bible uses what's called anthropomorphic language, like Christ is the true vine, Christ is the true path, the earth and its foundation, I don't think we take it to mean, okay, the earth must be this, you know, building set on a flat plane. No, the earth, the globe is spherical.
And Isaiah said that.
Yeah, that the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth. And
their actual Hebrew word is sphere.
Yeah.
It is sphere, just like our earth.
Exactly. And so, and that's in Isaiah 45, by the way. But be careful about extrapolating too far. I'm not going to take a lot of time because we have other callers right now. But there are urban legends, and a lot of times skeptics love it when Christians latch on to these things. Maybe we'll do a show about urban legends to watch out for.
That'd be good. And let me suggest this to everybody. If you can get up to northern Kentucky, south of Cincinnati, Ohio, and visit the Creation Museum and the Ark, I want to tell you, it'd be two of the best days you'll ever spend in your life.
Yes.
And it really goes into details with that and visually being able to see it. And being in that planetarium where you lay in the recliner looking up at the ceiling, and it shows how far away we are from the furthest star. I mean, it is amazing. Thank you, Blake, and keep listening, brother. We appreciate you. Let's go to Jake in Arkansas. Jake, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I was listening to you, and I've been listening to you, y'all, for several years. And you, the young lady was talking about being baptized, and someone said that the Church of Christ, you know, if you go from one church to another one, Church of Christ want to rebaptize you, and that is the truth. They will, because they wanted to rebaptize my wife, and we ended up leaving because she already had been baptized, and she know the reason she got baptized. And if you know the reason you got baptized and you get baptized again, that means you blaspheming against the Holy Spirit.
Well,
let me go this, Jake. Being baptized again, like we said, Israel, I mean, people are baptized is for different reasons, okay? The reason after salvation is to demonstrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is the purpose of it, that you have committed your life to him. And it was an open public statement then, wasn't it, Alex?
It was. Let me just say this, Jake. To repudiate the Jesus that you once believed in, to say, I was a believer, but I deny, I disavow, I repudiate that, that would be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. But to get rebaptized or to reaffirm, I wouldn't say that was blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
I would not either. I don't see that scripturally.
Exactly.
Not just opinion, but scripturally.
And I do think, let me say, as a pastor, you know, we had last September, I give God the glory, we baptized 31 people in North Carolina, most of whom were brand new believers. Some wanted to reaffirm their faith. Some wanted to make sure they were saved. But if you've got a heart that you want to know Jesus and make sure you've got Jesus, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I don't either. Hey, Jake, we appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate your nailing down your salvation.
Amen.
That's the main thing. And all of those who are nailed down that you've been born again in Jesus Christ, he's indwelling you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and you have been set apart, sanctified for the work of God in your life.
Preston and Becky and the others that we didn't get to, I apologize. Please call again tomorrow. We'll try to get to you. And thanks for listening to Exploring the Word all this week, Holy Week. Think about what Jesus did on the cross that we might be saved. May the Lord bless you in all things.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.